Talk. Okay. I'm going to talk about taxes and the origin of taxes. The first known system of taxation was
Word tax comes from, though. That's the best part.
It's from Latin. Taxo. I estimate.
Yes.
I estimate how much you owe me. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Egyptians started taxes, but your people, the Persians, perfected it.
I know. It's so lame. It's like my great 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 grandparents though. So
okay, we should be butt streaming now. I apparently hit the there's a recorder utility in Butt, which I've never used. I record from Mumble, but yeah, it should be streaming now. So if y'all want to let me know, you can try in the chat room.
You don't want to record what comes out of the butt. That's not the smartest thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can record what goes into the butt, and that's interesting. But
you know, I fixed my problem. You're bringing up things from my old podcast with my wife. You know, I searched microphone porn on the internet because I wanted to look at pictures of microphone, and I thought I thought Google Images quit showing porn, but a lot of microphones being inserted in ladies came up when you searched microphone porn. yeah, for some reason.
Okay. Which end? The end that you talk into or the end that you plug
in?
Well,
we actually recorded that for a podcast, but I solved my problem of K2 news coming through my tube preamp when I touch it. It was the tube. It was a new tube, but it was defective and microphonic. I just stuck a different new tube in it, and it works like a... like a gator, you know, and gators work. Gators do one thing really well, which I like in the world. They consume flesh. So,
yeah. They also taste very good.
You've had gators? Gator tacos?
Yeah, man. Not tacos, just straight up fried gator.
Fried gator. All right, let's read about taxes since that's what we're doing today because we're good law-abiding anarchists.
That's what you're doing.
Well, I wanted to say you sent me a picture, which I'm going to use for the I don't know which picture I want to use today. The tax form that you sent me that has a picture of the Constitution on the cover.
Although correction on that, it's not a tax form. It's like the instructions on how to fill out the tax, all the various different tax forms. It's kind of a tax form, but
I don't know if I want to use that or the micro photograph of a bean weevil's penis. Now, I didn't know that bean weevil was a thing. My old roommate Bean was in a band called the Bean Weevils.
Is it a photograph of a bean weevil's micro penis or a micrograph? Yeah. Oh,
it's okay. Its penis is like the most violent, disgusting, spiked thing I've ever seen. It doesn't really look like a penis, but they basically drill into the female bean weevil's shell to impregnate them.
Yikes.
It's called something like invasive insemination, I think, is the term. Some species do that.
Yikes.
So maybe I'll use
why
both.
Would you use that as
kinda,
the image?
Well, because that's kind of how taxes feels to me. Like some weevil.
Feels like you're being fucked by a bean weevil penis.
Some weevil is... No cussing. No cussing ever on the fiends, man. I'm practicing for radio. Okay. I'm going to find... We're going to find each other bitcoins. We'll just send the same bitcoin back and forth. I will tax you for cussing... And you can tax me. So, yeah, I think that's kind of how taxes feel, is like a clubbed micro, not even micro, a clubbed penis drilling itself into your abdomen.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. It kind of does, man.
So read more about
that's why I wait till the last minute to do them. And then I always wish I could actually go to the pain monster instead of doing
this
my
taxes. This is the pain monster. I will
The taxes are the pain monster.
Yes. Yeah. It's the bean weevil penis looks a lot like the pain monster. So I'm gonna upload that picture. But read more about how your great 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 grandfather invented or perfected taxes.
Yeah. Screw those old people. All right,
you owe me.
The first known system of taxation in ancient Egypt, around 3000 BC to about 2800 BC. Oh, so it only lasted for about 200 years. It was in the dynasty of the Old Kingdom, which is the earliest and most widespread form of taxation. Was called the corvée and the tithe. The corvée was forced labor provided to the state by peasants too poor to pay other forms of taxation.
So you'd have to go be a slave.
You literally had to be the slave, yeah. That's kind of like the poverty draft, isn't it? You're too poor to pay for yourself, so you have to go join up the military and be a state slave. Labor in ancient Egypt is a synonym for taxes.
That's
really interesting, too, because people have done studies and you spend, what, like the first 3 months to the first 6 months, depending on your tax bracket of the year, pretty much working just for the government. So half of your labor almost go to the government. So when you're there working, thinking you're going to buy nice stuff with all your income, a lot of that income is being disappeared into the government maw and black hole of sucking your wealth
now
out.
Look in the chat room at the picture of the bean weevil penis, and you will get a good indication of what the pain monster really looks like up close.
Okay,
it's pretty awesome. I want to see this. And if you're listening live, and you want to be on the Fiends chat room, just go to the freedomfiends.com site and click on the pink icon on every page over on the right. It's a coffee cup that says Fiends Chat.
Yikes. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's the pain monster, man.
Yeah, it looks kind of like Dick Cheney.
It does. I think we should superimpose Dick Cheney's head right in the front there. Or Obama.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sick of bashing Obama. We got to bash something else. Timothy Geithner.
Yeah. We should bash Bush for a little bit, man. I forgot about how horrible Bush was, but there's this documentary called, like, The Run-Up to War or something like that. It's just sound bites of politicians like Bush and all the cabinet people, like, lying you into war. Scott Horton, like, played the whole thing on his show. It's like an hour long, but it was so reminiscent of how horrible everything was under Bush and how much of a dumb liar he was all the time. He had this thing, and I'd never heard, I didn't remember hearing about drones back then, but he had a whole bit where he was talking about how Saddam Hussein had drones and you should be scared of Saddam Hussein's drones because they'll fly over America and disperse chemical and biological weapons. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that at all. Like, I didn't even really know what a drone was, I guess, in 2002. And here's George Bush saying, be afraid and hide under your bed because the drones are coming to get you.
Yeah, but Bush's drones were kind of like the Model T drones. You know, he didn't really have what
they weren't even Bush's drones. He was saying Saddam Hussein had drones and you had to be scared of Saddam Hussein's Iraqi drones.
I don't remember that. I mean, drones, drones go back to like World War One, using balloons for surveillance and even for dropping bombs. But they had radio controlled, gas powered small aircraft in Vietnam that they used for reconnaissance.
Ah. Yeah,
it's not
sure
new.
Did. Yeah, but that was the American army. We're talking about Saddam Hussein's Iraqi army after the first Gulf War, which was like one dude with a Mosin in a basement. who would think that Saddam Hussein would have drones? It's just so fanciful and ridiculous.
Maybe he didn't, and Bush lied to push through funding for the American drones.
Ah, yeah, maybe. Saddam's drones. We got to have drones.
He lied to get us, I mean the U.S., into that war. So why wouldn't he lie about that?
Yeah. And it's so funny hearing these people talk. I mean, nobody else talks like this, but reporters would ask them questions like, well, how do you know this or how do you know that? And they'd just be like, well, we know. You know, that's their answer. Well, maybe the president's got some intelligence that you've never seen. You know?
That sentence just doesn't make sense, especially if you use the word intelligence meaning IQ rather than than information.
Right, like military intelligence is an oxymoron. All right, we'll have more coming up soon.
Worms. Worm penises.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. Colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Yo, welcome back, Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
How y'all doing today? Hopefully we're loud enough.
Yeah.
That music is really loud in my ears, but that's cool.
I know.
This rock is supposed to be loud.
Yeah. Mango just said Audio Compass sounded a million times better than Nima sounds right now.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get you up on the Audio Compass, man. It'll be good.
Yeah, I guess I didn't give it too much of a chance.
You'll like it.
We'll see.
Yeah. So we were talking about taxes.
So later in the Persian Empire, B still says the same. All right, why don't you read about the taxes and I'll troubleshoot myself.
Why don't... Huh? Okay. Ugh, yeah. Yep. Okay, the first known system of taxation was in ancient Egypt. Did you read this part?
We already read that part.
Later in the Persian Empire, a regulated and sustainable tax system was introduced by Darius I the Great in 500 BC. See, I don't think he was that great if he introduced that kind
Seriously.
Of... Seriously. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. So... Some principalities taxed windows, doors, and cabinets to reduce consumption of imported glass and hardware. So that's the first, like, punitive taxes, not just taxes to steal money, but taxes to make people do one thing or not do another thing. So immediately the loophole was born, where armories, hatches, and wardrobes were employed to evade taxes on doors and cabinets. In some circumstances, taxes were also used to enforce public policy, like a congestion charge, to cut road traffic and encourage public transportation in London. In Tsarist Russia, taxes were clamped on beards. Now, how do you feel about that, Nima Vedati?
A beard tax? That would be awful.
Yeah.
Well, I guess every tax is bad, but I think what they were trying to do in Russia was move people towards a more European and Western European kind of look and feel and aesthetic. And they thought they could do some social engineering and tax people's beards because they wanted everybody to shave them off. And instead of looking like some Eastern European Cossacks, look like some nice, clean-cut Frenchmen and Englishmen.
Ew.
Or the Germans.
Ew. It's horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that, man. The government literally extorting money out of you so that you can look like a Frenchman.
3/4 of the world's taxation literature refers to the German system. Under the German system, there are 118 laws, that's it, 185 forms, and 96,000 regulations, spending 3.7 billion euro to collect the income tax. In the United States, the IRS has about 1,177 forms and instructions, 28.4 megabytes of Internal Revenue Code, that's it, which contains 3.... Well, in just text, that's a lot. It contains 3.8 million words of tax law, tax code, as of February 2010. Oh, I'm sure it's quadrupled by then. And numerous tax regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations and supplementary material in the Internal Revenue Bulletin. Today, governments in more advanced economies, like Europe and North America, tend to rely more on direct taxes, while developing economies rely more on indirect taxes. Hmm. So go on with your bad self and taxes.
Yeah, I didn't really get to comment on any of it. I didn't get to break in and talk about the Persians and inventing taxes, man.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. In fact, Persepolis, one of the ancient capitals of the Persian Empire, it's theorized was only used as for a short period each year when it was tax time. So, you know, there was no TurboTax back then. There wasn't even really
TurboTax was a sword to your neck, man.
Yeah. You had to march down with a contingent of your local government or state government or whatever to the capital in Persepolis to pay tribute. And the bas reliefs and all the different, I guess it's not like Egyptian hieroglyphs, but all the different pictographs, that's sort of what they show, is people coming to pay homage and tribute and give money to the leaders of the empire. So it's kind of like D.C. I'm also imagining, and I don't know if there's any historical to back me up here. But I also imagine that you would lobby at the same time that you paid your taxes. So you would go pay your taxes and maybe pay a little contribution or a little something on top and ask, hey, you know, we get a new water fountain in the capital of Damascus. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I think taxes are so square. They're so square. So
yeah,
square.
Yeah. It really is, especially in the ancient world. It boggles my mind how people got away with it so much. And I guess it was just more brute force. Like, I think there was probably less indoctrination. I doubt the slaves in Egypt were like, well, if we didn't, you know, if we weren't slaves, then we wouldn't have roads. We wouldn't have public schools. We wouldn't have parks. You know, we got to do this, you know. So in a way,
there was probably
more freedom, at least in people's minds back then, because they probably the whip was right there. You know, if you didn't pay your taxes through your slavery, you'd get whipped, and you probably hated the Pharaoh, and you probably hated the people that were doing this to you. Whereas now, man, people are in love with their slavery. People say things
not
like,
all people. My wife is in. I just heard my wife go, from the other room. And I said, what? Yeah. She said, I'm working on the taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
So not everyone says, Rhodes.
Yeah, but some people say things like taxes pay for civilization. It's just so square.
Taxes
it's
pay
the
for
opposite.
Ruining civilization.
Exactly. Taxes pay for violence, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Worms. Worms.
Worms.
Worms.
Yeah. Yep. Worms, man. And also, call-in show, man. You can call us. It's 307-215-5171. That's the Fiends live call-in number. Go ahead and give us a ring, or you could Skype in, too. The Skype name is KittyBeat1.
Yeah.
So, Michael, you wanted to talk about a movie.
Yeah, I saw this movie, Standing in the Shadows of Motown. It's a good movie.
Cool.
I want to review a movie you haven't seen. Well,
All right.
A while back, I reviewed a movie called The Wrecking Crew, which was about the L.A. studio session cats who played on like 95% of the hits from, 1969 to 1976 or something. And this is about the same equivalent kind of in-house studio session band in Detroit, the Motown guys. The West Coast Wrecking Crew was like 10 white guys and one black guy. And the Funk Brothers, which was the Motown one, was like 10 black guys and one white guy. And it's a really good movie. It's very PBS-ish. It's got some great performances in it. They actually reunited the band and had some of the original singers, but, you know, like Stevie Wonder was too busy, and Marvin Gaye was unavailable for some reason. Probably because his father shot him over cocaine and killed him. cocaine is a hell of a drug. But what's her name? Chaka Khan sing his songs were great, and there's some really good music in it. And Motown, man, it's great. Heard it through the grapevine. all that stuff, all the way going back. And Phil Spector's name is not mentioned once in this documentary, and he produced a lot of those records. But basically, the thing I didn't like about it was there was a real kind of socialist entitled undercurrent in the movie. Basically, the guys playing, the Funk Brothers, who played on all these records, got paid very well to play, to come in every day for 11 years. They had, you know, they were people who mostly moved to Detroit from the South to
like
work.
How well, though? Like rock star well, or like buy I can make my car payments well?
You can buy a new Cadillac well, somewhere in between.
All right. Okay.
You know, you can buy a new Cadillac and take care of your family and maybe your grandkids. But
right.
Yeah, not rock star level. But it was all like work for hire. And one day they all came to work after 11 years of this, and there was a sign on the door that says, "Motown has moved to Los Angeles. Thank you for your help," or something like that. And, you know, with no warning. And basically the premise of the movie is that these people were ripped off and they're owed royalties and blah, blah, blah. They're owed recognition. Now, the film gives them recognition and does a good job with that. Like, the film opens with going into a record store and talking to a bunch of like Motown fans and saying like, "Who played on Smokey Robinson's record?" You know, "I don't know." "You know, who played on Gladys Knight's record?" "The Pips?" "No, that's the backup singers." you know, like nobody knew. So the movie gives them recognition. And I feel they weren't owed anything because they weren't promised anything, even though a lot of money was made off those records and their sound had a lot to do with it. If you paid me really well to follow my dream for 11 years and have the world hear it, I wouldn't complain when it ended. I really wouldn't. And I didn't like that about it, but it's a good movie and I recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really important to note people aren't entitled to anything, you know, I mean, there's no moral horribleness of Motown picking up and leaving. And if these guys were so good, I mean, can't they play on anybody's record? I mean, if you're really that dope to where everybody in the country wanted to hear your bass playing or your drumming, just find anybody off the street. You said there was a quote in there that, you know, their sound was so unique and in demand that they could have gotten any no-name singer and had a hit. So why didn't they just do that and be like, "Screw you, Motown, fine. You know, go to L.A. and be Homotown, and we're going to stay Motown.
Homotown.
And we're going to rock this joint, you know?"
Yeah. A couple of them moved to L.A. and got some session work, but weren't that in demand. And they interviewed them, and it was kind of like they had culture shock in L.A. and just didn't, like, vibe with the groove there, you know? They felt out of place, and their families weren't there, and their friends weren't there, and they just didn't fit in with the, everybody's doing cocaine off each other's bellies on the beach and rubbing man parts on man parts or whatever. I don't know.
Yikes.
Also, a bunch of the guys were, there's several statements in there about different members of the Funk Brothers carrying guns, which I thought was pretty cool. A black man in a poor part of Detroit who came from lived in a poor part of Detroit should carry a gun, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing weird about it, but they kind of said it in the movie like, "Oh, and they were, you know, back then we were wild. We carried guns."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Dope, man. Dope.
Dope.
Well, isn't Michigan like, don't they have really hefty gun regulations? I guess I just assume that because they're in the Midwest, but I don't really know.
I don't know that they, I believe that Michigan is a shall issue state for permits.
Okay.
Michigan is a really bad argument. It's one of the only states that's a really bad argument for more guns equals less crime, because it's an incredibly armed state that has a lot of crime. But I think it's more of an argument for unions destroy an economy.
Right.
You know, aggressive.
And government interference destroys an economy, too.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a government manufactured or government modified environment, a GME.
Yeah. Like in the movie Demolition Man, made 10, 12, 15 years ago, you know, they say like there's a part of L.A. where the police won't even go. But that was science fiction. There are places in Detroit now where the police won't go.
Although that could end up being a good thing. Have you heard of people calling Detroit a renaissance because the state in it is falling apart, because the local government can't fund police to watch everything and have just left derelict buildings alone? So people will go in and, you know, start urban farms and not pay for a permit and just do it anarchic, you know, without any kind of state involvement. And the fact that people can get away with that could lead to a very interesting future for Detroit.
Well, Central Scrutinizer is posting about Michigan and its gun laws on here, and he lives there. So why doesn't the Central Scrutinizer call in?
Yeah.
To 307, what is it, 247?
Yeah, 307-215-5171. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm in the dark about the whole Detroit thing because, you know, you hear these horror stories and how it's, you know, rusting and falling apart.
Well, and then Ted Nugent left there and moved to Texas.
Yeah,
and he's like the biggest gun guy, according to a lot of people.
People like Karen DeCoster, who writes a lot on Lou Rockwell, says, you know, hey, I live here and people are doing all these great things.
She blocked the Central Scrutinizer's post on the Fiends blog about photoshopping Obama.
Ah, yeah.
On the Lou Rockwell blog. Yeah.
She sure did. And then my wife says, you know, in the sort of homemaking blogs, not homemaking like being a wife, but I guess like home improvement and things like that. A lot of the talk is, well, hey, you can go to Detroit, and since the market, the bottom has just fell completely out of it, you can buy a house for like $5,000.
If you want to live in $10,000, if you want to live without a government in an anarchist paradise, move to Somalia or Detroit.
Or Detroit.
Although it's not, because wasn't that the place where recently somebody took an abandoned lot and cleaned up a bunch of like a 4-ton pile of garbage on it and planted a garden? And then he got fined for it. I think that was Detroit. So it wouldn't surprise me. It ain't a libertarian paradise.
It's not, but it's kind of a front line or an interesting dichotomy study of there being place. Yeah, yeah. Case study where what happens when the state falls apart and people start using other means to organize society, but the state is still there in some nominal form. You know, there's a tension there, and maybe this is a good place to look at for what happens when the state does start to decay and fall away, and how do we transition it instead of more state and another state and a different state? How do we transition to, hey, you know, we got this. Everybody, you know, listen up. We don't need a state.
I really think we could do radio 7 days a week without notes. I mean, we're getting to the point where, like, I write pages and pages of notes, and we start talking about one thing, and then, I mean, we could talk the rest of the cast about Detroit, and it started with something about a Motown movie. We're good, man.
Well, the important thing is to talk about ideas, because that's really where the meat is, and that's what's interesting. So you can go off in your head, just in your imagination, and you don't have to say, oh, well, in 1984, blah, blah, blah happened. You know, screw that.
Yeah. Worms.
Worms.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
It's the Fiends. That's what it be. We did have a call while Michael was pupicating or whatever
was
he was doing.
I was not pupicating.
My wife has defensive. We could have just let it slide.
My wife is doing well. No, but it ties in. My wife is doing the taxes, and she had questions about my empire. So, about dividing up my empire on a tax form.
Yes, yes. You guys actually fill out paperwork. You don't do it online.
We fill out paperwork and then send it to a guy who does it.
Ah, right. You have a guy who does it.
Yeah, and we pay him, okay. I don't know, $250 or $350, something like that. It's worth it. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Central Scrutinizer, how you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. How's it going, Michael?
It's going good. Let me try a little Central Scrutinizer on here. Go ahead and talk. Talk.
Okay.
Talk.
He's talking.
This is the Midwest.
Oh, I guess this effect doesn't work on the scrutinizer.
Just on me. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me introduce. On the phone, we have the Central Scrutinizer.
How you doing there, Scroot? Can I call you Scroot?
I'm doing
for
all
short?
Right.
Can I call you Scroot?
Can I call you Mike?
No.
Okay.
What should we call you?
Touché.
Call you Lou?
Touché.
Lou?
Yeah, call me Lou. That's fine.
Lou's the blogger.
Now I have to change my name.
Luger's the blogger. Luger. Can I call you Luger? I like that. Anyway, Lou is a blogger on The Fiend's blog and the most popular and most shared blogger. You know, the stuff I post gets like 15 shares on Facebook and the stuff that Lou posts gets like 290 shares. So he's an internet celebrity and he lives in Michigan. So tell us about Michigan.
Michigan is not too bad. We're surrounded by bodies of water. And then
and
because
bodies.
We have the bodies of water, we also have the armpit, which would be Detroit.
Where there's no body. There's bodies of water and bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about Detroit.
Essential socialist paradise. You don't have to move to North Korea. Like, if you're in Ohio, just come north a little bit.
But what do you make of people, even anarchists, saying that, well, all that state action, all the socialism in Detroit is falling apart because it's obviously economically unsustainable, and now's an opportunity for free people to move in and sort of, I guess, take it over. Do you think there's anything to that?
That's kind of like getting involved with the GOP and trying to take that over and not make it a bunch of status goofballs anymore. And the big problem with Detroit is it has a very active, corrupt government. There's an old saying here that the politicians don't get voted out of office. They either die or go to jail.
Got it.
The incumbency / recidivism rate is very high in Detroit as well as everywhere
recidivism
else.
Recidivism rate, but, that's great. So basically, there's no hope of the government leaving people be, even if people want to be left alone. They're going to stay there and extract as much as they can, even as it falls apart.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. It's another version of Rome. And if you drive around Detroit now, granted, there's a couple of really nice neighborhoods that haven't so much been affected by all the crud that goes on there. But they're rather few and far between. As an example, if you drive down Van Dyke Avenue, which is on the east side of Detroit, it's one of the main avenues. You will see numerous burned out buildings, houses, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. To put it simply, if broken windows create wealth and prosperity, Detroit would be made of gold because half the buildings probably don't have windows in them.
That's great. So what do you think happens then? If it's just going to keep decaying and decaying, will it be a ghost town? I mean, is that the other future you see? I mean, will eventually everybody just leave? Or is it just like North Korea in 20 years and you'll look at satellite pics and it'll just be dark? What do you see for the future of Detroit?
I lean more towards North Korea. A lot of the streetlights don't work. It's not like you have a whole lot of lighting there and the satellite imagery will look similar. basically, the people are going to have to unscrew themselves, quit voting for criminals, which, you know, is not going to happen because it's been nonstop coalition of criminals for the longest time. There was a guy that was on the city council, He actually did get voted out, but that's because he was under major federal indictment. But he had been a city worker, like a garbage collector or something like that. I don't remember exactly what
dog
it was.
Catcher.
He got caught on the local news, Hall of Shame, Problem Solvers, whatever it is. On city time, he was going around and and stopping by his house, hanging out for 3 or 4 hours. So he got pinched on expose, and then he gets elected to city council. One of our new state reps just elected out of Detroit, got elected into the state house of representatives, but he's got 8 felonies for credit card fraud.
Nice. Wow. It's kind of, Detroit kind of seems like a right winger, not right winger, but like, it's like, it kind of reminds me of Chicago, but not as organized in its mafioso government. Maybe. Would that be accurate?
Oh, it's extremely disorganized and
disorganized crime.
Yeah. Very disorganized crime. If you still have a bit of the auto industry there, it's not like they've shuttered the whole thing and they're trying to keep it going. And the midtown and downtown area is not too bad. I work in the midtown area, but if you get outside of that area, if probably half of the buildings that are there occupied are social services type stuff. Well, maybe a quarter.
Huh.
So and yeah, the economy isn't worth a hoot. But you also have about 40 to 60% of people there are on the dole. When you're on the dole, unless you're cheating the system and getting income somewhere else, that's 40 to 60% of the people that are in complete utter poverty.
So are people moving away? I mean, is this something that's making people leave? Is it like a brain drain kind of thing where, you know, people who live in third world countries leave and go to Canada, America, and Western Europe? Are people fleeing? Are people staying? Is it just the people who are on the dole that are staying?
Yeah, people that have the means, for the most part, are the ones that have left.
like America.
Back in the 60s, you had white flight, and then that was followed by urban flight. And Detroit used to be a city of 2 million people, but now the last census showing was about 650. The mayor contests and says it's about 750, something like that, 750,000.
It was kind of a glorious city at one point, wasn't it? It came a long way down, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Detroit used to be a very happening town. I mean, not just the Motown stuff, but if you go back to like the 50s, my parents used to go to downtown Detroit when they were dating, and it was a place to go. It was very safe.
You know, what I wonder, too, is how much of that was a bubble? Is that why one of the reasons Detroit is falling apart now? I mean, the auto industry obviously was a favored industry of the state, and you know, there was Eisenhower's whole let's build this massive system of interstates all across the country, and I feel like part of that was lobbying on the part of automakers. So was Detroit's heyday the boom, and that was where the bad things happened, the malinvestment, and now the rusting out of Detroit is the bust? How accurate do you think that is?
I really don't think that's the case. I will say that putting all their chips on the auto industry has been something that's been very detrimental for all of Michigan because they didn't specialize. Michigan has basically been a one-trick pony, and just now they're getting out of that. But I mean, if you go back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, everything was based upon the auto industry. But there were riots here in Detroit I don't know, 67 or 68, something like that. And that chased an awful lot of people out. The politicians that have been there have been notorious criminals. The last mayor is on trial right now, so the Fed goons are dumping an awful lot of money into trying to convict him so they can not collect the money that he already owes the city.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Central Scrutinizer. We always welcome your calls. And yeah. We're going to go sell some stuff here. Thanks for calling in, man. Worms.
Definitely. Worms, it's good to get a first-hand take on it.
Worms, yeah. Fish, and hogs.
Peace.
Worms. We built this city. I have to go rub my wife's neck so she doesn't get a headache while doing taxes. I'll be back.
Yes, I'm going to go take a long break, too.
Pooplicate.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
And Michael Dean.
Yo.
Yo.
What's up?
So, Nemo.
Yeah.
You know what the difference is between the Freedom Fiends and all the other liberty media out there in the world?
Bigger penises?
Yeah, but aside from the fact that the word liberty is co-opted by a lot of people who aren't really liberty. Like, for instance, Radio Free Europe, run by the U.S. Armed Forces, has something called the Liberty Network or Liberty Radio or something. Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like to co-opt those words, man. They do. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody
like
just said
liberty tax.
Somebody just said Wyoming must be a difficult place for criminals. You never know who is carrying. Yeah, Wyoming is according to background checks, it's the 10th most armed state. But I think it's the most armed state because nobody buys guns in gun stores here. I mean, they do, but they buy them private sales. You know, people buy guns out of the penny saver. They go to yard sales and buy guns. literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our handyman. There's lots of private sales. So much so that the state at one time tried to crack down on gun shows for the tax revenue. Because technically,
and some guy yelled at him and chased him out of there. Some gun seller or a private citizen yelled fed, and started screaming at the guy while everyone cheered and forced him out of there. They came back, but not for a while. Yeah, they were trying to get sales tax on private sales. But we're the most armed state, or pretty maybe one of the Dakotas beats us, or maybe Idaho, but we're pretty close. And the last mass shooting in Wyoming was in the late 1800s, and it was over sheep.
what how do you have a mass shooting over sheep? Like the sheep were on somebody else's land and they got upset by it?
Yeah, it was actually it was something called a war, but it was kind of a privately started. I don't know. The government got involved. There's a Wikipedia page about it. If my wife wasn't doing taxes and crying in the corner, I'd ask her about it. But she's doing math, and it's harming her because the pain monster is sticking its penis through her abdomen and penetrating her.
The state's making your wife cry again. Bummer.
Well, yeah. No. Well, the state in the general term, but it's the federal government. Your state of Texas makes your wife cry, but the state of Wyoming has yet to make my wife cry and usually makes her weep with joy or smile or laugh.
Yeah.
So
it's all the same, man. It's the state. It's the concept that
it's
a few people
state.
Get to steal from
it's
you.
It's the state, but like I said, I'd rather live where the whips are softer, where they use the the pink fluffy handcuffs, the padded, you know, the lamb cuffs, the lamb, as I call them.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, okay. Someone said mass shooting over sheep. Was it a cowboy love triangle? Man, yeah. So,
well, in Wyoming, if you ever lived there, you'll realize that sheep and sheep herding and sheep shearing,
it's important.
That was like the first big industry in Wyoming before the oil, before the coal. Way back in the day, man, it was all about having sheep and sheep land, and people would have. They were almost sort of RVs. They were these sheep herders' wagons.
Don't fence me in.
And they would be completely self-contained. You'd have your home in your wagon, and so you could follow the herd, and you'd live in there, and you'd cook in your wagon and get dressed in your wagon. And it's actually really cool if you go to some of the old museums there in Wyoming to see those kinds of things.
It was the Johnson County War, which if we run out of things to talk about, which we never will, we could. But I want to say the reason the Fiends are different than all the other Liberty casts is, we touch on the tyranny of the day. But, you know, people send us all this stuff like, hey, did you hear about what Obama did and how he's regulating the internet and how – I'll just go through it in one sentence. He's regulating the internet and he started a new – he signed it secretly because Congress wouldn't do it the night before his State of the Status speech. And then revealed it, and then suddenly there was a new commission on battling online recruiting of Al Qaeda and sovereign citizens. They painted them together. That's incredible. Yeah, and I do want to have you play the squarest thing that's ever been produced, which is a 2010 video. It's a rap video produced by DHS telling people how to be safe on the internet. But first, I want to talk about Faraday cages, and this is why we're different on the Fiends, because we don't just talk about the day's news. We talk about timeless universal truths like Faraday cages. Now, what is a Faraday cage, Nima?
It's something that won't let an electronic signal like a radio signal get in or out. So sometimes I'll be talking to Michael and I'll walk into something like an elevator. And then you've noticed if you walked into an elevator and on the phone, all of a sudden there's no signal and the call drops because it's surrounded by certain metals and insulators that will keep a signal from getting in or out. Now, it's not built to be a Faraday cage, an elevator, so it's kind of an unintended consequence. But a real Faraday cage would keep anything from getting in or out.
Yeah, and they're used for a lot of things. One big use of them is in like electronic testing labs where they test radio equipment or very sensitive electronic equipment. Sometimes ambient radio waves that are always in the air bombarding everything will interfere with the testing. So they put the things to be tested and the test equipment in a Faraday cage. You can build one fairly easily. Basically, you make a wooden framed box, just the corners of the box, the six corners, you know, of the cube, and then you cover it with metal, like a metal screen. It doesn't have to, it can have holes in it. It doesn't have to be completely, you know, isolating like an elevator, but you have to ground it because if you don't ground it, it doesn't act as a Faraday cage. It acts as an antenna and an amplifier,
right?
Which is interesting because the idea of a tinfoil hat, you know, of wearing a tinfoil hat to block the government's rays or whatever, since you're not grounding it, you're actually amplifying radio waves into your skull. So
because then your skull becomes the ground, so that's where all the stuff is going.
Yeah, and Fiends listeners will know that over the past few episodes, I've been picking up K2 radio on my tube preamp, and I actually finally solved it by replacing the tube. It was a bad new tube, which was acting radiophonically, and I was picking up radio waves. So now, like, I'm touching it right now. And we're not hearing it. So
good.
It's fine. But I built a Faraday cage the other night to try it. And I took a box, a cardboard box that stuff had come from Amazon in, wrapped it with heavy duty aluminum foil, put my preamp inside it with the wires sticking out, taped it all up, and then grounded it, taped some wires to it, and then stuck them into the ground plug without touching anything while wearing gloves. And it must be the grounding in my building. I need to get a ground tester and check it. But it actually made it worse. It amplified it. So I guess my house is not properly grounded, which isn't a crime in Wyoming like it is in California. But I'm gonna work on fixing it. Or it might just have been the particular socket I plugged it into.
So I was building my closet studio and there were no outlets in it, so I decided to run an outlet or make an outlet out of the light socket. And I found the ground wire in there. You were like yelling at me like, "You're gonna die, don't play with the ground wire." And I'm like, "No, work." And he said, "Well, at least go buy a ground tester." And you're sitting there running wires from a tinfoil box straight into the ground outlet.
I have an answer for that.
Okay, what is it?
Nema? Uh-huh. Caffeine is a hell of a drug. So the really
just
neat thing
to do things.
I did. It was like 4 a.m. I was incredibly caffeinated. The really fun, not even ironic, just interesting thing about this was when I plugged it in and it became louder, what I was listening to on K2 radio was the Coast to Coast show, and they were talking about the government beaming things into your brain with radio waves.
Wow. So the radio waves being beamed unintentionally to you was people talking about radio waves being beamed unintentionally to you.
Yes, apparently.
That's great. Excellent. Yep. Excellent. Do they have any, is this kind of like the whole chemtrail stuff? Do they have any evidence that the government was beaming things into your brain?
Well, what counts for evidence on Coast to Coast Live is debatable. They had an expert. They have someone who's written a book. I don't know if it's self-published or not, which isn't really necessarily an indication of whether it's accurate or not, but it can be.
I hate that word expert, man. It's so misleading. And people who are experts are usually self-proclaimed experts. And then I also hate how in journalism school, they will often teach you that an expert is an integral part of your story and you must find an expert. So people just go look for people who call themselves experts. And then all of a sudden, that's supposed to be the truth.
Talkers Magazine, the Bible of talk radio, has ads every issue for...
Need an expert? No,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
we'll have more.
I'm like, no, we're experts. I'm a jack of all trades, which didn't used to be a bad thing. It used to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a master of none. I'm a master of some.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Worms. And that was some college radio type segueing there. We were hanging up on a caller while going back on the air.
That's you know, good, though, man. He called and he wanted to drop a rhyme. I love that. I used to love that about the morning radio in Houston. Hot 97.9 The Box, man. They used to do a morning freestyle session called The Roll Call. And you would call in and they had like a generic thing that was kind of the hook that they'd all sing along to. And then they'd introduce a caller through rhyme. And the caller would have like four bars to spit a verse. And it was like really awesome. People just around Houston would call in every morning and spit their best. So that'd be really cool if that was part of the Fiends too, man. People
that
calling
could be.
In and dropping
it
rhymes.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, we kind of didn't pay attention to the show clock here. We had the LRN feed muted. For those who don't know, show clock or program clock is what you live and die by on radio. And we've been using one. We've been using one on LRN for a year and a half now, and we usually get it right. We actually have it printed out in front of us. It's like a pie graph with the hour and when you're on, when you're not, when the ads are on, when the liners are on, things like that. And I have two of them. I have the LRN one and the one of the network we're going to be on, but they're the same clock. It's an industry standard clock that Ian Freeman may or may not have invented, and it's a good one. And I just gave a copy out to my wife because she was hovering to ask me a tax question, and I was sorry behind me, and I was like, here's the show clock. During the dark, the bright periods, you can come in and ask me questions. So yeah, show clocks, man. Are you set up to play a YouTube clip, Nima?
I was actually setting up while you were talking.
Okay, I'll talk a little more. Let me know when you got it on.
Okay, keep talking.
The only thing I want to talk about this, speaking of your tax dollars at work and how Obama is saying that sovereign citizens are like Al-Qaeda and has an internet task force to shut them down now. There is the Nima's going to play part of Until I Scream, Stop! He's going to play a clip from YouTube from 2 years ago. It's a DHS produced rap video, hip rap video for the young kids on how to be safe on the internet. Okay, so like,
yeah, so it's
ready?
Really awful.
Go ahead, man. Go
all
ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, a lot of people still got this internet thing on Twitter.
Turn it up.
So, in case you missed it, well, I'm glad you made it. Come on in, get educated. Stop, think, connect. Here we go. Now that you got the first two steps, I'm gonna tell you what you ought to do next. Click with your conscience.
Stop!
Hey, Nima. Do you like that?
No, not at all.
No, it was. I was pigeoning you to turn it down a little bit, but I guess you
didn't get my pigeon. Well, you said you got to pigeon me when it's just right, or keep down. I don't know. We got to have some other kind of way of feedback. The mumble statistics are just such liars, man.
Well, like, we'll see when we get on the audio compass starting tomorrow, which we'll talk about later. But see how it goes.
All right.
It's gonna sound better. I was kind of joking. Like, okay, we do keep people on callers based on longer, not only based on what they say and how interesting they are, but also their sound quality. Like that one guy that called in that had a mic and a mixer over Skype, and it sounded really good and got us into cheap condenser mics. I mean, dynamic, actually got us to buy dynamic mics. We kept him on for like half the show, and Derek J the other day, and Ben Stone when he calls in, when he's at home.
Well, I feel really bad because we played this horrible fake rap from the Department of Homeland Security.
I know.
And the last caller wanted to actually spit some kind of freedom rap.
I know.
He said no. And then we played this awful stop, think, connect, check yourself before you get wrecked. It was like, ugh.
And the production on it was really dated. I mean, it's from 2 years ago, but like the track kind of sounded like Fight the Power by Public Enemy, just not nearly as good.
Yeah, and the video was awful, and the guy was wearing like clothes from 1993. And
he was
a
school teacher. He was an English teacher in Massachusetts. Yeah, he's like he kind of looked like Tim Meadows cleaned up a bit. You know, he had like dreadlocks,
dreadlocks. Yeah.
I think we're gonna have to play Fight the Power to like be a unicorn chaser for that. So let me cue this up, and let me get it to you, and you can get past the ads and get it queued up, but. Yeah, man. So I was thinking that we here, Nima, let me send you this on the pigeon trolla, and you can get through the ad and then queue it up. I really need to hear Fight the Power after that. But I was thinking the other day, kind of as a joke, like from now on, we're only going to let callers in that spend the $1,350 on a Comrex. But I was actually thinking what we really might do is really encourage callers to go out and get Audio Compass, which is like the poor man's $200 software only Comrex. Because I would love to be the show that takes calls and has a majority of the calls of people sound like they're in the studio. Because the one thing I really hate about talk radio is that phone calls sound horrible no matter what fancy equipment you use to take them. You know,
right? So you're saying we're going to only take calls from people who spend $200 on a software license?
I think we should get BSW, who are the sellers, resellers for it, to like have an affiliate with us where, you know, our users get it, listeners get a discount, and we get a percentage, and we declare that we get a percentage, but we wouldn't recommend something we don't use, and we're using it now. We're not using it yet, but we will be. Why don't you go ahead and play Public Enemy Fight the Power? It's so much better.
Right. I'm going to start off at like zero and pan it up. You tell me. Yell at me when it's loud enough, okay?
I like to yell at you.
I'm starting from zero.
Scratch a libertarian, find a tyrant. That's loud enough. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hit your heart, cause I know you got soul. Listen if you're missing y'all. I think we're going into an out here, Nima. Hey, giving what you're getting, knowing what I'm doing, while the black band's sweating in the rhythm. So, Freedom Fiends.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own your soul. groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is
your property. No one's doing my bidding today. It's upsetting me.
No one's doing your bidding? What's your bidding?
That just doesn't sound very libertarian, does it?
Not at all, no.
Well, it's for voluntary exchanges, though, so...
Ah,
yeah. Marriage and podcasting.
Marriage?
Which is okay. Kind of... Podcasting is kind of... I don't want to say we're like a marriage. You'll get creeped out and quit.
Yeah, let's avoid that.
Yeah.
I've already got one. Yeah. One's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about audio between the break, and well, let's not talk about it. Let's do more tests tomorrow, and then see if you come around and do my bidding and say, yes, Michael, you were right. I was wrong.
Okay, we'll see.
Creepy.
Bean phone. Bean phone.
I think it's our therapist calling in.
Bean phone. Bean phone.
Hello, Fiend. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Michael. This is Ben.
Ben Quaker! But he's not calling from home. He's on the road, so he doesn't sound good. Are you listening?
Yeah. I was until I had to hang up to make the call.
What's on your mind, Ben? We miss you. I've been trying to get you on the phone. Are you using your wife's phone? You're out of minutes on your phone, right?
I was. I've had it off for a while. But it was back on. I was going to call you last night. That's kind of why I called today, because I've been wanting to talk to you and haven't been able to connect in the right times and everything. So I thought, well, I know. Michael's active. I'll call him when he can't get away.
Well, yeah, we'll just have a private conversation but broadcast it. So I want to pimp you like they do on talk shows, like when, you know, some famous comedian has a book about gun control they just published. You are appearing at the Liberty Forum this coming week, aren't you?
I am. I think Friday at 3 or 3:30, something like that.
Now, people are going to have to choose between you and something else. Who are you going opposite of the same time?
Ooh, I didn't even look. I don't know.
I thought you told me it was Jack Spierko is on at the same time, isn't he?
He's there, but he's not going to be on at the same time. They gave him actually a better spot than me.
So you're going to have free buttons of the Freedom Fiends and the Bad Quaker to hand out there, aren't you?
I will.
All
yeah.
right. So
anybody that sees me, just come up and say, hey, give me some buttons.
Yeah. What do you look like?
What do I look like?
Yeah, so people know.
Big and ugly and hairy.
Yeah, you kind of look like a biker or Jesus. Jesus the biker. The fighting Jesus. Yeah, so what's on your mind, Ben?
Hey, not a whole lot. I'm next to a lake in Georgia. Listening to geese quacking, honking.
And listening to the Fiends quacking and honking. Were you listening to us out in the field? How are you doing that?
We have internet connection where I'm parked right now. So for the last few hours, I've been able to do the internet.
Cool. What do you want to say to Nima? Or ask Nima?
Hey, Nima, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, Ben.
Someone said, tell Ben to start podcasting again, or I will have to start listening to Alex Jones.
No.
I'm actually supposed to, assuming I can have a good connection tomorrow, I'm supposed to interview Stephen Kinsella on intellectual property, and then I've got to find a way to upload that onto the inner tubes.
Ben, I do have a question to ask you. We had a little discussion about the whole Ron Paul thing. I don't know if that's been talked to death now. It probably has. But I'm wondering, what do you think of... Why are people like Lou Rockwell on his blog just taking the Ron Paul position and not even opening it up to debate the fact that...
They're friends. They're longtime best friends.
I know, but isn't that... That's very disconcerting to me. It makes me... not want to it makes me trust them less when they take the hey, it's Ron Paul's name, he owns it, it's his, it's not bad to go to the UN.
You two are pretty much my best friends except my wife, and I bash you all the time on the internet to your face and behind your back. That's more honest.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to hear Walter Block say something, because he literally wrote about this in his book years and years ago. You don't own your name. You don't own your impression. That your what's it called? what people think about
likeness.
You. Yeah.
Moral
and
rights.
It was actually in his book. He put a whole chapter on it. And so I was hoping to hear him because I know, you know, he would have his fingers pulled out by the roots before he would ever say anything against Ron Paul.
And you've bashed him, right?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I get a chance, it's fun to bash.
To be clear, I haven't bashed either of you, but I've taken, you know, I was just sparring with Nima about audio things. And I have said things about you on the Fiends that, you know, aren't, I can't even remember right now, but... You know,
well, it should be friends don't let friends violate the non-aggression principle.
How about
right?
Friends don't let friends be dicks? That's what the thing should be with Ron Paul. That should be yeah. Not that you guys are dicks. I'm saying like that should be the thing with Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell. Friends don't let
one person got so mad at me over my position on Ron Paul that they created a mock website of Bad Quipper.
And I saw that.
Yeah, they attempted to get me to switch my sides based on the fact that now there's a mock website of me.
What's it called? I want to look at it.
It's called badquaker.org.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
And
awesome.
I think it's hilarious. I am, you know, to me, it's like you've reached the big time. You have someone hating you so bad, they will pay money to mock you. I mean, that's huge.
There's nothing except a heart that says my site at badquaker.org. Did you sue him and make him take it down?
No. No, actually, I publicized it all over Facebook, and we all had a big laugh over it.
Was it badquaker.org?
Correct.
Yeah, it just says, my site. This is my site description with a big heart. It's like a template. They took it down.
Hmm. Did they? Let me go look at... Ben had a link on his Facebook. Because you're in the wilderness and off the grid when it comes to Facebook.
I am.
That's why
I might as well be
it.
At a duck pond in Georgia when it comes to Facebook. I love being not on Facebook. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. So, Russia. Russia had a meteor and somebody said, in Soviet Russia, space explores you. I kind of like that.
Ah, sorry, it's not... it is bad quicker. I'll send you a link, Michael. It's right here.
All right. See, this really is sounding like three friends having a private conversation and sharing it.
There. Open it up on the pigeon and say what you think about it. There's a picture of Ben wearing his hat and his glasses, and it says fan site.
Oh, I spelled Quaker. I spelled Quaker Quacker.
Of course you did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Bad Libertarian Part 2. So this person tries to call Ben... a bad libertarian because Ben isn't defending Ron Paul's property rights to his name.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to link it in the chat room.
He basically says, don't libertarians believe in defending your property?
This is pretty funny, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he accused me of violating the zero aggression principle because I told him if he didn't calm down, I would block him off of... Bad Quaker's Facebook page.
He calls you bad libertarian and calls you a coward. And posts a bunch of Facebook chats with you and other people and people talking about you. Man, this is so sixth grade. I am so glad I'm not on Facebook. This is ridiculous, man. It really is.
Although I do like that he's taken up the Ben Stone thing.
Oh, I really like the bumper sticker that says, hey, kids, just say no to thugs. And it's got like Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and Ben. And it says badquaker.org.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a liberal logic and a stoned logic. Oh, man. Somebody with too much time on their hands. Oh, and they're selling merch on Cafe Press. Faux libertarian Jesus keepsake box with a picture of Ben. Is this really a picture of Ben? I think it's a picture. Oh, it's that tattoo of Ben. I thought it looked like the drummer in the band 38 Special, but it's someone's tattoo of you.
Who has a tattoo of Ben? That's awesome.
Yep. Scroll down the page.
I have.
We're going to keep you on. We're going to keep you on. We're going to keep you on for after the sales pitches here. Worms. I'm going to keep recording because this is...
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win?
No. My world did not collapse when Ron Paul didn't win. Nima, did you see...
It totally collapsed.
Nima, look down to the Stop Being Meme to Me post.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
This is funny, man. I would be honored, but
Man, this is who do you know? Who is this person that made this? Do you know?
His name is Paul Anderson, and he works for Oracle, and he lives in California.
Huh. Oracle, the broadcast network?
No, Oracle, the software manufacturer.
Yeah, Oracle. Yeah, they make all the government databases that spy on us, don't they? I think they do.
They help, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, man. So tell us more about this. We are recording. You are live. There's been a lot of dead air today, and I want to cut it out. So y'all talk.
This person on Facebook was attempting to convince other people on Facebook about Ron Paul's right to his name. And I wasn't really even engaging him, but I saw that he was doing the typical troll stuff. So I just started poking, you know, fun at him and mocking him and making fun of him, trying to get him angry enough to where he would say something so I could ban him.
That's awesome. Wow.
But, so he did this instead, which I thought was hilarious.
I think it's an
Ben,
honor, man.
You must be against free speech because you kicked him off your Facebook page, Ben. What's wrong with you?
No, that means he's into private property.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
We're back on the Freedom Fiends. How are y'all doing today? This is our last segment. We've still got Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, on
Ben
the line
Stone.
With us. Yes, Ben Stone. Or Ben Stone, as his enemy loves to call him.
If you like bad libertarians, you'll love Ben Stone as the bad Quaker.
So, Ben.
I am so flattered.
You're nobody until somebody wants you dead. That's what they say in Hollywood. So I guess on the internet, you're nobody until somebody devotes their entire life to making fun of you.
Well, Biggie Small said you're nobody until somebody kills you. So he took it a step further.
Yeah, I don't think a California guy who works for the software company that makes all the central scrutinizer government database equipment is going to find you and kill you. I think you're safe. He's just going to kill your name. See, I'm sure this has occurred to you, but if it hasn't, he's trying to slander your name to make you go, yes, uncle, I give up. You're right. A name is important and I have a right to it. You get that he's doing that, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what he's trying to do. But he's not going to. The more he screams, the more it's going to cause people to go, it's people who don't know who I am, it's going to go, well, who is this guy? And it's going to draw more attention to me, so it's going to backfire on him.
I like that he calls it a fan site. Is that like him trying to not get in trouble with copyright or something or slander?
No, that's because the ronpaul.com billed themselves as a fan site. And I think there's a little thing up on the top of ronpaul.com that says fan sites. I think that's him spoofing it.
Are there any actual links to your real site on here?
Not that I've found, but I haven't really looked at it all that close.
I'll search in the page code.
The funny thing to me, he tried over and over and over to get me to ask him not to publish it. Uh-huh. And then he tried over and over to get me to give him official permission to publish it. and every time he would ask that, I would just mock him more because it's like, you know, an anarchist doesn't ask permission to do something you have the right to do.
Yeah.
You just do it.
He does link. And if you're he links your Israel Anderson site interview, but he links the MP3, so he doesn't send people to your site.
Ah, okay. But yeah, you don't, you know, if you're doing something in protest, the whole point of the protest is to, you know, take the risk on yourself. It's like, okay, I'm gonna sit in the front of the bus in 1958 or whatever in the South and see if I can make some kind of a fuss over it. So I'll go to the city first and get a permit so I can sit in front of the bus.
Yeah.
So I think that makes no sense whatsoever.
I think I'm going to order a Ben Stone tattoo faux libertarian Jesus mug for my talk radio coffee mug. I think I need one of these.
I kind of mocked him a little bit over that too, because at first he set it up so it wasn't really links to buy stuff. It was really poorly photoshopped, just pictures of stuff that didn't.
Oh, it still is. It still is.
Yeah, I click on it and I just get a picture. I just get an image.
I was like, I want to buy this. I will buy this right now.
Well, and
he didn't have the links.
I think I should make them and sell them. I think I'll do that.
And give all the proceeds to Ben, and this guy would be like, "No, I invented those. Those are mine."
Ah, there you go. I like that. I think I'm going to do that tonight if I'm not too busy consoling my wife crying after doing our taxes.
Yeah,
I told him at one point if he started selling the merchandise, it would pay for the site. He might make some money.
No, he's only had 500 views. We've had like 400,000 views since we started on Freedom Fiends, and I think we've sold 3 mugs and 2 t-shirts, and I think your brother bought one of each.
And you bought one and sent it.
And I bought one of each. So yeah, somebody bought a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. But I think I'm going to make them so I can buy one. But I liked it. He put a joint in your mouth. You don't even smoke weed. That's weird.
I've never even smoked cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's because of the great name. I mean, Ben Stone, that's too good to pass up. You got to use that. You got to use that. So I think that's why he did it. But yeah, man, I can't see this doing anything but making more people aware of Ben. And I don't know. It's a good proof that somebody else dragging your name in the mud or making fun of you or creating a site like this, it doesn't really hurt you. It's not a violation of non-aggression. And I don't know. I guess if you don't really own your name, but if people like you because of your name, those people are still going to like you no matter what other people say about you, unless you do something yourself. You know, other people can't destroy it. Only you can.
I mean, if you take any celebrity and put their name into Google and then put the word sucks after it, you will come to some sites that have that title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People love it's to hate much celebrities. Also.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
It's very much also like, you know, the president saying, don't Photoshop this picture of me with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite one so far of those is him with a teleprompter in front of him that says, pull.
That's pretty great. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So, Ben, what's when are you heading up to New Hampshire?
We're planning on leaving Georgia Tuesday. And it's about a 16-hour drive, so we'll probably take it in 2 legs and arrive there Thursday. Mm. Can I say something bad about a state?
Yeah. Huh? You say something bad about the state.
You know, we've traveled all over the South, and super friendly people. Alabama was super friendly, a very clean state. The parts of Tennessee that we went through, very clean. Kentucky, same way. Got to Georgia, and there's trash everywhere. It's like Ohio, they have road crews the whole way coming across Georgia. There were road crews with convicted criminals, out picking up trash on the roads, and there's still trash everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Ah, see, because the state is subsidizing the slave labor to pick up the trash, so people feel like, oh, I can just throw it up. It'll create jobs for the prisoners.
Well, I remember there was some town in the South about 15 years ago where the Ku Klux Klan had done the, you know, this trash pickup on this mile sponsored by the Georgia Ku Klux Klan or Alabama Ku Klux Klan. And everybody started like taking their household garbage bags and dumping them on that stretch of road.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's an economic stimulus that they're attempting.
Yeah. Well, they say that like 20% of the people in the current Ku Klux Klan are government informants.
That's probably true.
Which is funny because the Ku Klux Klan only existed because of the government when it was in its heyday. You know, I mean, sheriffs enforcing bad laws and things like that and looking the other way and not prosecuting people and actually using jury nullification where whites kill blacks. You know, I mean, that's citizens, but they're working through the government of like refusing to convict a white for killing a black.
Yeah, I'm not saying this to support any Republicans or anything, but it was for many years, it was basically just the muscle arm of the Democratic Party in the South and in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody's talking about the movie Demolition Man in the chat room, how there's a poster of my face in it. We've talked about that before, but, you know, when there's dead air, you got to say something. So there we go. There we go. Yep.
We can't have dead air.
Nope. So, Ben.
You're not supposed to talk about dead air.
I know. First rule of talk radio is don't talk about your failures. But we are a teaching hospital here at the Freedom Fiends.
So I never fail a lot so we can teach you about it.
There you go.
That's the ticket.
I never really finished my Faraday cage talk. So, Ben, what do you know about Faraday cages? Did you use them when you worked at the drone company?
Yeah, actually we did. We had every one of our sound cells was a giant Faraday cage.
Like warehouse-sized Faraday cages. I've seen pictures of those, right? Big ones?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the weird spongy foam all over the walls with like 2 feet spikes.
So they were also anechoic chambers and Faraday cages. Talk about a windowless bunker. I mean, that's like, you know, you're safe from radio waves and noises. That's what I want for my home studio, man. I wish I were the government. They could just make it. I'll get the government to make it for me.
They have unlimited money. They can just write a check.
Yeah. I like how Obama can just like create a new commission overnight on internet security to spy on Americans. And then it's funded. Like the next day, there's offices and phone lines and cable lines we can put in and satellite phones and like, you know, stuff I've worked my whole life to try to get for two or three people for a company. He just creates it with a stroke of a pen overnight.
Why do you think they're always creating new things like this? Because it is automatically funded. So anytime they want all these new toys, all he has to do is stroke his pen, man.
Well, we got our Comrex. I was complaining that the government had all the Comrexes and we couldn't afford one. But thanks to fiends like you listening and our advertiser, Scott Beezer, we are getting our Comrex next week and nothing can stop us.
Yeah. Except
so, Ben.
Cool.
Thanks, Ben. We look forward to it.
No problem.